is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
To protect.
Well, now it takes love and a robin to make the weather go through. And it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
But it takes two hearts to cook in to make a fire grow. And baby, you've got what it takes. You know it takes a lot of kisses to make a romance. You know it takes a lot of loving to make my life complete.
And it takes a lot of fun to knock me off my feet. And baby, just what it takes, because it takes more than an effort to stay away. It takes more than a lifetime to prove that I'll be true.
But it takes somebody special to make me say I do.
Yeah.
And baby,
on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We're here sitting in the studio with Uncle Joe Castle. And we're going to be talking about He Has What It Takes. Folks, you should have seen him. Uncle Joe was, he knows that song, and it was and really good stuff, huh?
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
And baby, you got what it takes. That's what Michelle, she's got what it takes. Carol.
Right, right. Michelle Kalhoney. Anyway, little joking here, but what we're going to do, again, thank you for joining us, and I have some interesting things that are going to be posted on the website at carolcox.com. As you know, there was a confirmation hearing for the director of the Hawaiian Homelands, Department of Hawaiian Homelands, and there is some contention, and it's still not finalized in that it has to go before the Senate. The committee, actually, on Hawaiian Affairs and Tourism, actually heard that, and in my opinion and in my observations, it's a sad commentary as to how we as Americans treat Native people, and then how Native people treat one another when they do get in power, and I will demonstrate that and share with you. It presents a problem in that inevitably, the native people submit and participate in a supposedly civil process, waiting to have people judge the facts and hear the facts and make decisions. And this hearing, or this so-called hearing that I witnessed and filmed and recorded, it was a mockery of justice. It was insensitivity at its worst, and then in turn had a demonstration of Native people reminding one another that they shouldn't be tugging and pulling and arguing with one another, and that had nothing to do with it. So at the expense of the Native people, the Hawaiians in this case, people need to stop procrastinating. Those that are in power, do what's right. And the discussion of crabs pulling one another down in a bucket is nonsense. This is human beings who are operating, trying to participate in the system that you've given, and you allow it to be flawed. You allow it to be just a mockery. In this committee was Michelle Kadani, who is my senator out of Mililani, and I'm ashamed of her. Then there's Gil Agaron. I don't know what planet he's from. And there's Clayton He, who sits and pretends to be caring and have an opportunity to ask hard-hitting questions, probative questions, failed to do it. Malama Solomon, I just don't. Now I see why she was appointed and the people didn't elect her. So, again, but when it's all said and done, it is the Native people who are being impacted. It's not that they're not capable of handling their own affairs. It's just that people in the process that have been put in the head to make decisions are only making selfish decisions for the bureaucracy. So having said that, I'm going to let Uncle Joe introduce himself, and we have a call. Just 1 second. Let's see. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? Caller, are you there? Okay. Try back. Okay, Uncle Joe, go ahead and good morning, and thank you for coming. And I also have your lovely wife here, Auntie June. The two of you, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Carol. Mm-hmm. My wife, June Toguchi Test, who was raised up just below a Hawaiian homestead in Papakulea, was very instrumental in having her father, who owned a service station just around the corner from Lusitana, gave his heart to the people from Papakulea whenever they came down to fill up gas and get their cars lubricated, etc., etc. June played a very important role way back in the 50s and 60s. Anyway, I'm Uncle Joe Tassel. I'm presently from Waimanalo, Kupunahale, mm-hmm. which is the only Kupunahale in the entire state that's directly under the Department of Hawaiian Homes. I've been there along with my wife a little over 2 years now, and we love it there. I was born and raised in Waimanalo, and now I'm back home. I was born and raised in 1938. Grandmother took me home to the first increment on Bell Street when there was just 7 homes on the street, the dead end street.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here to discuss anything that the callers may have and anything that you have, Carol, mm-hmm. That would further our moving forward for Hawaiian Homes.
Well, we're definitely going to leave 2 hours, this 2 hours, open to any questions and comments you might want to share. And I'm sure you, in reminding them that you are currently serving as a commissioner for the Department of Hawaiian Homeland.
Yes, sir. I was appointed by the present governor, mm-hmm. Neil Abercrombie, just about a year and a half right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, with all of this happening, I'm expecting Robin Danner, and Michelle Kalhani apparently got sick, can't make it. But we're going to call in. But anyway, there's so much to talk about. This process that we had, we observed, that took place the other night on Thursday.
Tuesday.
And it was
Wednesday.
It was a hearing Can you walk us through that briefly and share some of your concerns and observations and what you experienced there?
Well, first of all, I was lost for words with the amount of people that showed up. My confirmation hearing was held in a conference room by the Hawaiian Affairs, the Senate Hawaiian Affairs Committee, mm-hmm. along with five other commissioners that were confirmed the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There was so many people that showed up. It was mind-blowing for me to see how many people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many that they had to move us from the conference room because it would be overflowing into the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows, just as a beginning, how much people were involved mm-hmm. with the confirmation hearing for Joby Masakatani. It was said at the hearing by the chairperson that it was a ratio of 800 people that was for her her confirmation, and that there was just 12 other people along with myself that was against the confirmation mm-hmm. due to a number of different issues that was posed by the handful that did go up to testify against the appointment. Apparently, when you look at that, 800 people and just 13 people, we were, the 13 of us, instrumental in bringing 800 people together for an issue. Whether you were for or against, the issue was Hawaiian homes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the bottom line, that's moving a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
People from the departments, people from the governor's office, people from the attorney general's office. There's all these people from different agencies. Now, as we walk through Hawaiian homes and we address the concerns of our people, the beneficiaries, whenever we have issues that are related to various departments that was there to support Joby, Joby's confirmation, well, when it comes to supporting the people and the beneficiaries, I'm hoping that these same departments that showed up for the governor and showed up for Joby will show up at the table when we need their help to address the concerns, issues, and shortfalls of our people, the mm-hmm. beneficiary.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I observed that it was the list of people that clearly it was an orchestration of power. It was a demonstration of power. It was a demonstration of how bad a bureaucracy has gone. The heads of the departments were there, all in support. Now, it doesn't take a scientist to figure that one out. You know, you hire the people that'll do your bidding. That's the game, the way the game is played. So they go marching in. What caught my attention and my eye actually was the relationship between Clayton Hee, Malama Solomon, Brickwood Galatera, Kadani. They really weren't listening. This thing was it was a charade. They marched these people in, all of the state heads. I would have asked the question, do you really have that kind of time and luxury, Mr. Department Head, Ms. Department Head, to come in here and support another one of the governor's appointees? Would not a letter have been sufficient? And give you an example, Charlie Taguchi was there, right? Marvin Wong. These are people that were all together at one time under the Cayetano administration. Amy Agbayani was in the old administration, not that I saw her testifying. Ray Soon, former director. John Ratcliffe was also part of that selection committee that was participating, but not here. Then Joby's mother, I'm laying this out to, wasn't she the deputy and superintendent of DOE at one time?
I'm not sure.
Well, anyway,
it said that she was in that position,
yeah.
I believe, during the
Cayetano administration under Taguchi.
Under Charlie Taguchi.
Right. So when they march all the people in, and I notice Clayton Hee, of all people, We're sitting there excited, jubilant. Oh, we have more, and Brickwood was beyond himself. He found himself having to, well, we got another 100. And we, just a minute, we got another list of people. But Robin Danner and Michelle Calhoun presented some very important information and testimony. They didn't really show an interest in that. They were more excited to let the public know, or let the participants know, that they had a big list, and the majority of the list, either someone was getting a handout or had some grant or had a state job, or the director. There was William Isler there. The other person was Mililani Trask. I posted this entire hearing up on my website at carolcox.com. You can hear the audio, and we'll be also posting the video of that. And we, Michelle Calhoun had, as you know, Uncle Joe, she had a meeting with Bruce Copa, the governor's chief of staff.
Chief of staff.
And in that, as she described, she informed us that she didn't know, but in this meeting that she had requested with Copa, the attorney general participated, to her surprise.
David Louis.
David Louis. And David Louis was in the audience testifying in support of Joby.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering, what is so important about that, that you would need all of the top hits and then the governor himself, not to belittle this process, but this is the DHHL, and it's an appointed position, and it really isn't the final one. Ruling on this, it still has to go before the Senate.
The entire Senate floor.
So I'm just wondering, and that's why I describe it as a charade.
And as a result of all of that, you know, my hopes and dreams is that whenever the department has a situation that would call for support by these department heads that showed up in support of the confirmation,
mm-hmm.
That they would show up in support of an individual beneficiary or the entire beneficiary list.
Mm-hmm.
That's in that type of a situation, be it a water situation, be it a landfill situation, be it a building situation, whatever the situations or the issues may be that calls for support by the entire state, I'm going to be taking account on who's showing up to lend a hand.
Mm-hmm. And you should do that. And I think a great many of the people, like you say, they showed not only 12, but that came in, that were in the audience. But I was just dumbfounded to see this behavior. Michelle Calhoun offered testimony, and instead of asking more probative questions, Clayton Hee, the senator, acknowledged and recognized that she had made some very strong statements and some allegations. But he didn't bother to further pursue it purposely. And so did Brickwood Galatera. I also note that Brickwood, Senator, was sitting there, and I observed him hurry you along. Anything that was in support, he seemed to had a desire to rush. In opposition, he was rushing. Anyone that was in support, he allowed them to just stumble and fumble with their verbiage and become prolific and just talk. And I just felt that behavior diminished that process and discolored the entire process.
Well, when he hurried me along and actually almost cut me off, at the end of the meeting, I went up to the senator and I told him how disappointed I was when he told me, well, you got to be quick. So I went straight to the quick.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, Senator Solomon, later on in the discussion, speaks of how Kupuna takes a little time to really express themselves and share their wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
However, nothing was done positively about that. Would they be calling me back to the podium to address myself properly, or would they be sit down on Uncle Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went to the quick and I said thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. But
right.
They acknowledged the fact that our Hawaiian people are very surely stepped, very surely footed, that when they do contribute to whatever the discussion may be, they make sure that people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're sharing wisdom that we hope would stay within the hearts of these people for the rest of their life, and they pass it on too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my tutu did to me.
Right. Now, in this meeting with COPA and Attorney General Louis, Michelle Kauhani actually had the presence of mind to record that and that conversation, and she has shared actually with the media and myself that tape. I'm going to play some of it now, and then we'll come back. And I want to get share your thoughts in Manaus on how this, when the Hawaiian people put their trust and rely on the government, the state government agencies, is it a problem? Does it present a problem, a difficulty? And then we'll talk about SB 10. But I'm going to play this, and we'll sit back. And I think it's about 10, 15 minutes. But is that okay with you?
Sure.
And this is Bruce Culpa, the governor's chief of staff, and the attorney general, David Louie, and Michelle Kauhani, the former deputy director of the Department of Hawaii and Homeland. This is prior to her, they end up firing her. But listen closely, and again, if you don't catch it all, you can get it at carolcox.com.
Yeah. Anyway, a couple of things.
Yes.
You wanted to meet with me regarding the inability to work with Joby.
Well, not necessarily my inability to work with Joby. We got several chaotic things going on that we need to figure out how to handle.
Okay. So, obviously, that's one issue.
Yeah.
The other issue, you had asked David a while ago regarding, I forget what the exact...
An investigation. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Right. So I thought this is a perfect opportunity to bring the two together and we can talk about it.
Okay, cool.
And I know that you and Joby, it's been very difficult, you two, to get along.
Yes.
And it doesn't seem like it's working. Well, it's not working.
It's not working.
It's clearly not working. So obviously it doesn't leave us much to do but make some management changes. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you a job, $85,000, and working with Colin Kippen on the for Hawaiians. This would be funded through DHHL.
Mm-hmm.
And we can spin it up to be Colin is actually very excited. He's actually wants to take this to a whole new level. So it's an opportunity. I'd like you to consider it.
Okay.
So that would be that one issue.
Okay.
So I thought at the same time we should raise the other issue, but that's something that I need to bring up. So there was an investigation. Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's continuing or not.
Well, let me just kind of talk about that. First off, normally we don't talk about investigations, but you did ask, and you were somewhat involved. We did a number. There are a number of matters that have been investigated and there are ongoing investigations,
mm-hmm.
at DHHL over a variety of things, some of which have involved matters that you have touched, some of which don't involve you at all. Okay. And the one thing that's probably of note that I wanted to let you know about is that we looked into a question about blood quantum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we were provided with an email that you had sent out saying we're not going to essentially re-examine any
We're not going to recertify
blood quantum. As we investigated that discussion, there were witnesses who we talked to who said that you had given a directive to not look into recertification of blood quantum, even if there was evidence that came forward that people had not met their blood quantum. Okay, and so, I mean, and this is in terms of an investigation, just so you understand that. And you may have a different view, and I'm not asking you. I'm not going to put you on the spot to tell me your view. You can tell me your view here. You don't have to. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But we had more than one witness say that you had said something to the effect of, we're not going to recertify even if people are don't have the appropriate blood quantum. Okay, so if those statements are given face value, you have taken a position or expressed a position that would be contrary to the law. It would be in violation of the law. And so given that investigation, that those statements, if they were believed to have been made, would be incompatible with you continuing on as a deputy director, because it would involve essentially a deputy director saying we're not going to follow the law on this matter.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's sort of sitting there, okay, as a matter which would be incompatible with continuing. Okay. So that having been said, I mean, it's really there as if in light of what Bruce had just said, if you were to take a different position, the incompatibility is not as manifest. I mean, it's still an issue for me, but it's not the same thing if you're in a different position and if you're not acting as a deputy director.
Okay. I got the answer.
I'm sorry?
No, I heard him.
Oh. No, you said
I hear
the
him.
Answer.
I got the answer I was looking for to my question.
Oh, on that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you time. I mean, what do you want to do?
Not have this conversation right now.
Well, think about
I'll just tell you both, unfrickin' believable.
What is it?
This whole thing. This. I hope you still have the email. You still have the email?
I do.
Good. So I'll have my attorney answer that question with you. And on this, no, I don't want to work for Colin Kiffin. And I'm not going to go work for Colin Kiffin. And if you don't want me to be at DHHL, then fire me. Talk to the governor myself.
I'm not on fire.
Pressure adds to the agony of the ongoing crap that's been going on at DHHL. But, so fine. I'll have my attorney call the AG to figure that thing out. But I'm not going to leave DHHL. And if you guys want me to leave, fire me.
That's not my call.
Right. Nor is it Joby's call, nor is going on anybody else's call. So I'm not going to just sit around and pretend like it's not happening and be bullied by government.
I'm just telling Michelle, look.
You can make me an offer. I don't want that
I
offer.
I made you an offer based on what? There's a need. If you don't
based
want that,
on the need.
If you don't want that, because Joby is the director.
I get it. Joby is the director. I'm not disputing that Joby is
I know,
the director.
And obviously, you can't work with her. Hang on. So I'm trying to help you here to see if I can help you because for a
that
job.
That doesn't help. I don't need a job. That's fine.
I may be
if the governor doesn't want me to be at DHHL, then fine. Let me go.
That's not his fault.
He's the one who made the appointment. Or somebody else can make the call then. Whoever's call it is, if you don't want me at DHHL, fire me. I'm not just going to walk away to Colin Kiffin's office.
Well,
not for you, not for Joby, not for...
That's not for me.
Right.
I'm trying to offer you as an opportunity.
It's an insult.
Good.
Okay. That's fine. We don't have to have the conversation then, because clearly you've made a decision about what you would like me to do, so either you guys...
No, I didn't say what I'd like you to do. I made you an offer. Okay, I don't have the authority to let you go as a deputy. I don't think the governor has that authority either.
So who has that authority then? Just the chair?
I'm pretty sure it's the chair or the commission. Not sure.
Okay.
I don't think I have that. But if that's the case, then I think the attorney general has to take it from there. Because if you're going to get your attorney involved, I think the attorney general has to provide that to the chair. I mean, to the commission.
That's fine. If that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do.
It's not what I want to do. I didn't create this.
I didn't. So I will say to you, yes, I did say that we don't need to recertify. If somebody's already been certified and we give them a certification, they're certified. How do you be less than 50% if you've already been certified?
If a mistake has been made, if the blood quantum is incorrect.
Right, so the clarification about that going forward after our meeting was DHHL in the past had not had a certification process. So they're not getting recertified, they are getting certified. So in the old days, when people are getting called, we send out two different letters. Some people are getting called to do an award and they haven't been certified yet. So that was clarification to me. Because people think they're already on the list getting called, and really the reality is you're getting called, but we haven't certified you yet. So there's a lot of terminology errors that it's not recertification, it's they've never been certified. They never had blood quantum. In the case of there's different documentation. If my brother's documentation is different than mine and they have to make a change, my question to them is not, don't recertify. How do you know which document is more accurate? It's just assumed that they have less than.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. That they're
It depends on the
right,
situation.
Right, so it depends on the situation.
The
so that was clarified. But that was the clarification process that took place internally. And so fine, if that's going to be an issue and if we're going to say that the issue or why I can't be the deputy at DHHL is tied to that, then fine. If it comes to that, I'll have my own attorney deal with that situation. That's all.
Okay. Okay.
But if it's about certification, if the position on... Because what I heard you say, Bruce, is...
You came to me
or,
with
yes, I came to you with questions.
With Joby. And Joby, obviously, you and Joby are not working out. We've tried this. It doesn't work out. So I need to do something. The governor's asked me that, you know, he's hearing... He's getting from all of them, okay?
Right.
Getting all these phone calls. And I know you got your lobbying team. We got people on the outside lobby. So then it gets stuck in my court. And then I have this option because... You know, you're our friend, and I sit there and say, well, I don't want to get rid of Michelle, but she's got some value. She knows the mortgages and stuff. I hear what Colin is trying to do and trying to incorporate HCDA now in a bigger picture, and I said, hey, $85,000 a year? It's not a bad deal. Let's see if we can make that happen, and we'll spin it up to be very good. It'll be a damn good thing, and the governor can announce it. That's where I was coming from, to try to make it an easier way to help and go that way. That's my side of the deal. This other thing that's been going on, that's happening because it's happening. I'm working the deal with Joby and you, but I know there was a question from that you had posed to him. And I said, well, let's just air it out here, both of them. So that's where I'm at. That's what you heard me say. That's what I'm telling you. as a friend.
Okay.
So the only other thing I would say is if you had something else, from my observation point, and it's not my Juliana, but obviously if you're not getting along with Jovi or Jovi's not getting along with you, and if you have some other solution to that, and that's what you wanted to talk about, then, you know, maybe you want to talk about that with Bruce and air your concerns or your solutions. Because when you have a director and a deputy director who are not getting along, that, to me, is not a good thing.
Right.
In general. Okay? And then, so then the question is, well, how does everybody move forward best for both the good of the people involved and the good of the organization? Okay? And if you have some solution for that, that obviously you don't like this solution, but if you had another solution, you know.
I'll throw it up. But, you know, I'm getting, you know, I got Kamaki emailing me, I got Robin emailing me, I've got, you know, I mean, and I'm hearing from the other side. I'm going to need people lobbying me
right.
for your job.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm not clear
no.
that they're lobbying for my job. I'm, and I know all that's going on, too. I get that. I get it, too, and I'm just saying, our goal is to move the department forward, regardless of all the craziness going on. And we don't get to move the department forward if Jovi and I can't even have a conversation. So somebody needs to understand what's going on. It's crazy. I don't know what to tell KIUC, who keeps calling me about Hydro. I don't know what to tell the DOI secretary who meets with us separately. You know, I know community is split on it, so we have to do something. The governor already appointed her. That's done. Our community can go fight about that forever, but it doesn't help that we can't even have a conversation internally. I can't even get Jovi to meet with me. Ever.
Well, do you have, what do you suggest? I mean, we've had this conversation when you first came together. And, I mean, I can't get in there and be a referee. That's not what I'm going to do.
Right, dude. Okay, so we'll just let it keep going on the way it is then. That's fine. Until somebody, till whoever can pull the trigger, pulls the trigger. That's fine.
Sorry?
Whoever it is that's going to let me go can let me go. If that's what the solution is going forward, then that's what we'll just do. I'll just keep operating the way we're operating.
Do you have another solution?
No, I'll...
What's your solution? Tell me. What would you like me to do? What solution can I come up with? What can I do? Tell me.
I would like us to just be protective of the department. Can we talk to both of us to just say, hey, this is not healthy for the department? Right? What do we... nothing.
Okay.
I don't want you guys to do anything. Nothing. It's okay.
Well, that's not fair to me. I offered you something, and you're telling me you got this problem. What would you like... What can I do? What would you like
you
me
can't,
to do?
You're correct. You can't do anything, so I'll just continue to allow it to... I'll just continue to allow it to go on and do the best I can do given the circumstances.
Well, I don't think that's...
I'm sorry I brought it to your attention.
Hmm?
It we'll just continue on the way we are then. If that's what we got to do, that's
but
what we got to do.
This conversation, you, me, and Jovi.
About
working
the
together.
Only conversation I've ever had with Jovi was the last time I met with you and Jovi right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's been it.
So you guys don't communicate?
No, we don't. I try to, but she chooses not to speak. I don't think that it's helpful for any of us. I don't think it's helpful for Hawaiians. I don't think it's helpful for the governor.
Well,
so
it's not
if
helpful
that,
for me. I'm going to tell you. It's not helpful for me and for all these people to be emailing me all these accusations about you and other people emailing me accusations about Jovi.
Correct.
I mean...
I get that.
I don't know if you get that.
I can't control the accusations that people sling either way. I don't think that the... Forget it. I really... Trying to find a way forward on, yes, I understand that we need to get... the governor is trying to get Joby confirmed, but there's a lot of animosity going on. So what do we do as a team? But your solution is just don't be a part of the team. Go somewhere else. So if that's the solution that you're offering, okay.
I made that offer.
Yeah, you're making the offer. I understand that.
That's as a friend.
I get it.
You don't. I mean, I don't have to get in the middle of it. I don't know what the process is, but if you want to go that avenue, then let them go. I don't know, as you say, you want to continue working like that? I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't know what that process is. That's Joby and the commission, how they handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this, and it continues, and it was an opportunity. I think, well, let's take a shot. That's not an option. I mean, don't look at me, you don't have to do that. That was something for me to come up with a way to help you stay whole. That doesn't work. I don't know what more to do.
Yeah,
I'll have a conversation with Joby now and say, obviously, you two are not getting along. Now that you've told me this, and I'll go back to her and say, what's next step? What do you want to do? Why can't you communicate with her? And if you can't, what is your solution?
Okay.
I mean, I'll do that. We'll bring that together again and try again. See what she says. But, I'm responding to your email, and then all the emails that I'm getting from private emails I get.
Yeah, I don't open a lot of emails because there's just too much of that crap going on.
But that's what brought it to a head for me. And I think, you and I have been friends. And I said, well, let's see. And Colin, to his credit, he thought it was a great idea. So, and he's worked with you. He said he loved working with you.
Yeah, I have worked with Colin quite a bit, actually.
He said he loved working with you. But,
okay.
So I'll call Joby and see if you guys want to see if they want to come together or not.
Okay.
See if we can make it work. Anyway, that was.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show live. That was a recording of former Deputy Director of the Hawaiian Homelands, the State Department of Hawaiian Homelands, a conversation with our Attorney General David Lui and the Governor's Chief of Staff, Bruce Kopa. There are many, many things that come to mind. Why with the Attorney General? He states, we normally don't talk about investigations. Why would the Attorney General be involved in a personnel matter? Either Ms. Kalhani did something wrong, and if he was investigating it, do we lend ourselves or do we trust an entity that will look at individuals and say, if you're caught violating the law or you're on an investigation, if you were to move out of a certain position that we want to put someone else in or promote someone over you, we will basically less manifest, meaning it's less obvious. All of that. Bruce Kopa was about as conflicted as anything I've ever seen. On one statement, the governor wants it. The next statement, it's not the governor's decision, but it's his decision, and he want to do it, but he can't do it. He don't know who has a right to fire her or remove her or agree. And then there's Colin Kippen, and who is there, and he agrees to take money from Hawaiian Homelands or take money in the form of having his assistant would become Michelle Kalhani to work for, in his office or whatever, with and using Hawaiian Homeland's money, while we have people standing in line waiting for leases, waiting for grants of sorts, and we're going to play this kind of behavior. I don't want to describe this, and I don't want to incite you. If you believe that it's okay that the Attorney General and the governor and all of that, this is okay, then I have no issues with it. But as far as I'm concerned, and remember, while I'm not Native Hawaiian, I am a citizen of these United States. This is a state agency for all intents and purposes. Then, therefore, I have a right to expect better government. So do you. So that's what my interest in, and for the love of the Hawaiian people, I think that we can say we're going to make Ho'oponopono, we're going to make them good again, we're going to give back. But the reality is, there is no giving back in this process. We as Americans are witnessing a fraudulent practice. It's clear to me that the Department of Hawaiian Homelands and Neil Abercrombie and the state senators and all are nothing more than people who have taken the playbook from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, who did major violations toward the native people on the mainland. So anyway, Uncle Joe, real quick, and we got about 8 minutes. Have at it. And Michelle Kalhani called, and she's going to call in the next hour, and Robin will be calling. So we'll hopefully we can talk about this.
Well, one of the things that disturbs me, you going to take that call? Go ahead.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I would just like to ask Uncle Joe whether or not the attorney, the department has independent counsel who could look into this matter of how people get qualified and requalification. It sounds like the attorney general has already made up his mind on that issue, and in the state therefore might have a real conflict. And why doesn't the department have independent counsel?
You know, that's a good question. I was just going to bring that up in my discussion, that since the Attorney General is the legal counsel for the department and the commission, why is the Attorney General present in this meeting along with the Chief of Staff? That's my question. If this is how the Attorney General's office is acting toward the department, and the bottom line in the department is beneficiaries come first. Beneficiaries are always the number one, not the department, mm-hmm. not the commission, it's the beneficiary. So if the beneficiary is given legal counsel by the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General is sitting in this meeting offering the deputy a position in another agency utilizing department funds that is directed for the beneficiary, then why is it that we do not have our own legal counsel? This is an issue that was brought up this past Tuesday, and the Attorney General's office that was present at the hearing at the state capitol was against Hawaiian Homes and the department and the beneficiaries getting their own legal counsel. Very good question, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Uncle Joe.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you.
Do we have another caller?
No, we don't.
Okay. In the event that we get another caller, I'd be happy to step aside and let the general public get their staging. Anyway, I was about to say, why is it that the Attorney General's office, the Attorney General, mm-hmm. David Louie, is present at that meeting offering Michelle Kalhani, the deputy, another position in another agency utilizing the people's money that's directed to beneficiaries for other people?
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I have a question for Uncle Joe.
Go ahead.
Uncle Joe, do you think there are any ethics laws violated in between these closed personnel meetings, especially the inference of offering a form of bribery of the then deputy director to leave her current position for another?
I'm sure. Thank you, caller. Very good question again. I'm sure that there was a conflict of interest, and the bigger conflict of interest here is the attorney general is the one that's making the offer. It's not a staff. It's not a part of the governor's office, or even the office manager, the chief of staff, making that offer. The both of them are in conflict. I'm sure they are in conflict. And that's the reason why we need legal counsel. Thank you.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
It is such a big mess. And I think maybe the Hawaiian home should be privatized. Anything the state runs doesn't work. And who suffers? The beneficiaries. And what is OHA doing about this?
That's a good question. And that question leads to OHA, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, was present at the confirmation hearing for the Senate Committee on Hawaiian Affairs and was in support of the confirmation. Now, that's a very good question. It leads to my question in regards to when the time comes for the Office of Hawaiian Affairs to step up to the plate, because there is an issue, just as it is, and like how you're saying, caller, the issue on Hawaiian homes, I'm hoping that the batter up will be the Office of Hawaiian Affairs.
See, the point is, OHA is also another state agency. Anytime you get a state agency run by the state, You know, this OHA has to jump for the state. They're not going to jump for the beneficiaries because they're getting money from the state, right?
Well, these are the things that the department has been suffering on through the 92 years ever since the inception of the Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act. Every time that the beneficiaries is addressing something that would be of benefit to them, the state agencies put a stop to it. Right from the beginning, even until today. The commission that we have at the present that is serving the beneficiaries is one of the best commissions ever. It is to my understanding, and I come from a long legacy of Hawaiian homes, being that my grandmother was one of the first to settle in Waimanalo when Waimanalo was in its first increment. Her oldest son was the department head, Abraham P. Anaya. His daughter was the department head, Ilima P. Anaya, and now my sitting on the commission relates to that legacy in our family.
Okay. Well, caller, thank you. If you'd like to join us in the next hour, feel free to call back.
Okay.
Thank you. Aloha. Thank you, Uncle Joe. We're going to go to the next hour, and we'll be back, carolcox.com. You can send an email at carol@carolcox.com or RRLL, and see you in the next hour.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. I've been joined by Miss Michelle Calhoun, and I have Uncle Joe Tassel in the studio with me, with his lovely wife, Auntie June Tassel. And Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. Hi, Uncle Joe and Auntie June.
Good morning.
Carol, I first want to say thank you for raising the awareness and for putting the issue on your show today. And I just wanted to share a few comments. First of all, for me personally, ever since the arrival of Joby Masagatani at DHHL, it's literally been a reign of terror. She and the governor's office choose to govern from the rumor mill. I have chosen to lay out the facts. And what you heard on the tape is the reality of a situation that can and does go on behind closed doors. When the governor appointed Joby, he and I sat down and we met. He advised me in person of his decision, and he asked me to stay on as the deputy. I did so, and then the harassment began. My beneficiary file is missing from the Department of Hawaiian and Homeland, and I learned of this from Marvin Wong. I can't imagine how that's possible. Second, I get excluded from executive sessions as the deputy by information provided to Ms. Masagatani by the Deputy Attorney General Kalani Bush. This is the same Deputy Attorney General who allowed me into every executive session prior to Ms. Masagatani's arrival while we were under the leadership of Chairman Mahalia. Third, an investigation goes underway, and I question whether or not I'm the target of that investigation. I send a letter to Joby with a copy to the governor's office, and I'm told that I will hear back from the attorney general office myself. I receive no response until I arrive at my meeting with Bruce Kopa on December 7th, where Attorney General Louie is present. As the deputy at DHHL, my point about the investigation is, as the deputy at the time, the attorney general would be my attorney too. So if they found an email or thought that I had acted inappropriately as the deputy, the correct course of action would be for him to advise me as my legal counsel and help make the correction. Not use an email that I sent to my staff against me with a threat. That's just unacceptable. And so my point, Carol, about sharing this tape is that somewhere down the line, our politicians and appointees have lost their way. They've forgotten who they represent, which is we, the people. With respect to Joby Masagatani, I opposed her confirmation because regardless of how smart and sweet people claim her to be, the bottom line is that she was unable to work with me personally. She refused to communicate and instead collaborated with the governor's chief of staff to use an alleged investigation and a job offer to be funded by our trust simply to get rid of me. Mm-hmm. So her promises to work with opposition and to work with others, the best indicator that I have of what is possible going forward are her actions that led up till now, which were inability to work together. Mm-hmm. It's unethical, and the confirmation process for Ms. Masagatani is about pledging our faith in Joby's ability to make decisions as the chair. And for me personally, her involvement in this situation is clear. She will be a good soldier to politics, and I'm looking for a good beneficiary advocate. And so those are the main things that have taken place coming up to now, and I know it's very controversial. I appreciate your willingness to share this publicly. Not always an easy situation, but definitely, by my standards, the right thing to do.
And I might add, so that listeners out there understand, I have reached out for Joby in other matters, and she just simply ignores my emails or phone calls at all, number one. the governor has yet to recognize me as being a human being. If you think your native Hawaiians are having problems with recognition from this guy, I don't even stand good enough to receive an electronic email of a press release that he sends to the world. So I offer that so that anyone that is inclined to think that I'm not being a fair and level-headed journalist, I'm just simply advocating through this radio show right and wrong and justice. So if it doesn't fit the description of the definition of journalism, no apologies here. This is an attempt, and I think listening to that tape that Michelle provided is sufficient evidence to say that when the people are set up by law, that we in a democratic process vote, and this kind of shenanigan goes on behind the scenes. What I took away, Michelle, was it was threatening, coercion, just illegal behavior, and there were some constitutional concerns, in my opinion, because if that was me, and I was told by the Attorney General that I've been investigated, and he normally don't talk about him, unless he said to me, but we're not going to prosecute you, we'll have this conversation, and anything you say, I will assure you, will not be used against you. So he didn't offer that, and that's what troubles me. So go ahead, Michelle.
You know, I'm not sure. Again, that was the first I learned. I was not clear if an investigation was actually underway. I had a good inkling that it was happening, and so I, again, rather than operating in the rumor mill, wrote a formal letter myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was told only in that meeting, and that meeting only, after my letter went out in July, that the investigation did happen. And the tape speaks for itself. People will say, disgruntled employee, I don't need to speak to that. I think that the facts are clear. These are simply the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And people can interpret those. We have a responsibility to one another as citizens, and our politicians have a responsibility to us.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly that was not good behavior, unacceptable behavior by people at the highest levels of government. We're talking about the governor's chief of staff and the attorney general of the state of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 1 second. Let me get a caller here in case it's a... Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Good morning. I'm calling from Kauai. It's great to listen to your radio show. Carol, this is Robin Danner.
Good morning. I have Michelle on the line also, and then I have Uncle Joe sitting here with me, and Auntie June. So how are you, and thanks for calling.
It's a great Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, go ahead and share with you. There's Michelle, and if you guys, because you, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I hope that everybody out there in the listening world getting a chance to just see the two of you in action. If in fact there's going to be any success in Hawaiian issues, I would say go as far as saying you guys will spearhead it. And I think there's light at the end of the tunnel when I see the two of you in working.
Well, I would just congratulate Uncle Joe and other members of the commission, as well as Michelle, for their courage in bringing light, not just to not so much to Hawaiian issues, but in this case, it happens to be Hawaiians that are being abused, but to government issues, so that we can create a new future for the next generation of voters that can believe in their political system in Hawaii. And I think, you know, today's star advertiser on the PLDC issue, where you have folks from around the state testifying about mistrust and, you know, using commentary like "the fix is in." These things are not acceptable, and until we as citizens stand up and say it's not acceptable, then it will continue. And I think I think that's what I appreciate the most.
Mm-hmm.
About Michelle in her willingness, not for herself but for the rest of us, to say this is wrong, and to reintroduce perhaps to directors that are appointed, that a moral compass is required.
Mm-hmm.
it's a required part of the job. It's not blind faith. It's informed support. And I think I just want to congratulate Uncle Joe for all of his years of activism and advocacy. And this is really tough. I know it's tough on the commissioners who have been practically shut down by this appointee in the great work they were doing prior. I mean, for example, I don't know if many folks realize that the commission, this is an amazing commission that's been appointed. First time that you can hardly say it's a rubber stamp, but prior to the Masakatani appointment, these folks, for the first time in ever, passed policy resolutions at the commission level to make land transactions requiring DHHL and the director of DHHL to be transparent about land requests coming in from anybody, whether it was a church or a developer. Mm-hmm. Uncle Joe folks basically said, we're not judging the land request. We're saying Hawaiians and the beneficiaries of this trust should be the first to know. And so they passed a resolution. But in the last 8 months, I've gone to every single commission meeting, and it's clear that for whatever reason, this commission has been shut down, has been their voices, you know, and their policy priorities are just being thrown aside. And I think that coupled with what we saw, and I was shocked when I first heard the conversation with the Attorney General and the Chief of Staff, which was initiated by the interim director. It's just unacceptable. We can't just shake our head and walk away and say, well, the fix is in. You know, that we have a next generation. I have four children, and it's just not okay to allow, we need a better breed of politician. And if we, the constituents, need to teach our public officials and politicians what's acceptable, then so be it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, the two of you and Uncle Joe, do you think asking for resignations or firing of these two individuals is adequate or sufficient, or this incident rise to that occasion, that level?
Well, I believe this. This has been a long time coming. This is not the only two individuals that have done this to our people in the present, but it's been done to our people in the past also. And as a result, is it politics as usual? And if it's politics as usual, we need to move on. We need to either leave them behind and tell our people, because I'm here for the future. I'm not here for the past. I am here for our children and our children's children and the children yet to be even thought about. That's the reason why I'm here. And I'm so dedicated to the position and to the fiduciary responsibility that I swore by God that I would uphold.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, Mr. Cox, I absolutely. I mean, of course. I mean, not just the Attorney General and the Chief of Staff, but also the interim appointee. Or at a minimum, there needs to be a Senate investigation. Mm-hmm. You know, senators need to be willing to ask questions, to be informed. That's what makes good policy. What makes bad policy is blind politics. And so, of course, this behavior is unacceptable. That the what happened on that tape, and the days before it that started that wheel rolling by the interim director is unacceptable. I'm not afraid to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal. It's unacceptable. No moral compass by anyone would say, gee, that's okay. Let's, you know, they made a mistake. That is not a mistake. That is a way of governing that is unacceptable. So, of course, the people of Hawaii, in fact, I would tell you, Mr. Cox, our governor deserves better than that kind of appointees being surrounded by. We the people, I deserve better. My children deserve better. Michelle deserves better. The commission deserves better. Mm-hmm. And the people of Hawaii deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve better public servants. We deserve better government officials that are reminded. Let's get back to what I would like public service, public servants, to be an admirable job once again. And I think we as citizens, we have some responsibility in this.
Mm-hmm.
If our government officials are governing without a moral compass, without any curiosity, without any willingness to ask questions and do informed support, whichever way they vote, if that becomes acceptable, we as citizens have to take some responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm. Michelle,
you know, Carol,
yes.
I think that for me, definitely an apology is in order. David Louie and Bruce Kopa acted out of order, as well as Joby. What I would like to see, as you heard in the tape, I have yet to be able to speak to the governor myself. And so because we're beyond that, whether the governor knew or understood what was happening, he knows now. And I would like the governor that I voted for and left my private sector job for to come work for at the state of Hawaii to stand up and be the governor who we elected, mm-hmm. the governor who promised us a new day in Hawaii. And if he didn't know then, he clearly knows now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like him, a real leader, would stand up, acknowledge and embrace what the truths are, and then decide what he's going to do about it going forward. So I would like to see him at least acknowledge and comment on that behavior. He owes that to us, that we elected this man and had great faith in him. He's responsible for his cabinet members and their actions. And so now that he knows what the facts are, we need a response from him.
Well, as we know now, the governor and his office and his press secretary of communications reduces this to a private employee matter. And this is consistent with the same mindset that our illustrious Senator Solomon, Malama Solomon from the Big Island, characterizes your statements when you were making your testimony or presentation as hearsay.
Right.
Yet you were present, and she could have simply asked, do you have anything that would corroborate your statement? She didn't bother, and she was so... I felt pain to watch her in her behavior. And then I was sickened when I... And those out there in Mililani, remember, Michelle Condani, though she struggled to get Reen Mancho prosecuted and persecuted, Michelle Condani has become one of the boys. She does absolutely nothing, Mililani. So when it comes time to voting next year or the next time, let's keep that in mind. So go ahead.
Well, what I want to add to this at this part is back when I was a part of the campaign, I was asked to come to a meeting that would bring me into the campaign. The thing that moved me was Al Harrington had told me at the meeting, Brother Joe, this is what the governor said, and I will hold him to it. You got to take care of the host culture first. Well, that moved me into the campaign. Once he was elected, 2 days after the election, this is what happens to Auntie June and I. We are about to get up, leave the headquarters because we had a handy van to come and pick us up and take us home. And we were preparing to go to the Big Island the next day. What happened is Neil looks at me as I'm standing up and walking out of the room, and he says, Uncle Joe, come. And I said, no, I got to go. And he says, no, Uncle Joe, come. And I insist on going. And then he goes, Auntie June, Auntie June. And she turns around, and she starts walking toward him. And I know who's boss in our family. So I walk along with her. And this is what he says. He humbles me by saying this. This man is the epitome of the campaign. Now I am shocked to see what has happened with the epitome of the campaign when he called me up to his office and told me, Uncle Joe, we're concerned about your health. We would like to remove you from the commission with the Hawaiian Homes and put you on the Evie Commission. Mr. Cox, my concern and my dedication, and I don't have to worry about my ancestors. Mm-hmm. It's for my future, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren who have a state as a result of the Hawaiians, a state in the Hawaiian Homes Commissions. And that is where my responsibility holds. My responsibility is to that fiduciary responsibility that I took on at the swearing in of my position. And that's the reason why I am very shocked to hear him say to me that he would like to offer me another position because he was so worried about my health. Well, listen, my health is not the best, but it's as good as it can be at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Guy, if you have any comment.
Well, Mr. Cox, I would say, you know, I attended the committee hearing last week on the confirmation, and you know, I still think Senator Kidani, Senator He, folks were that was the first time they had really heard this, and so I guess I'm a little more I would not be surprised if they were stunned and not sure what to ask, and because it's not a very usual thing where this kind of thing is usually whispered and not put in writing and in testimony, and where someone has the courage, you know, to stand up to power. And so I still think that the individual senators on that particular committee, now they did not have the benefit of the tape.
No, they didn't.
But now that they do, I think that those, in particular, the senators on that committee have an opportunity to say, hey, this warrants discussion, and so they could certainly speak to the Senate president or their colleagues about restoring public faith, that it's not just a go-along to get-along system, and that policy matters, that constituents matter, and to ask questions, to be curious. That to be curious is not a bad thing. And so I would hope that any one of those senators that I'm sure work hard on other issues would at least call for and suggest a Senate investigation before the full Senate makes a decision to encourage informed voting over expediency. No, you know,
let me submit this. I'm always thinking like you. I give the benefit of the doubt, but there are behaviors and the way they displayed themselves, and they hurried those that were not in favor. Mm-hmm. Number one, I at the end of that, when they convened, approached Malama Solomon and Brickwood Galatera, and I asked them, aren't you going to ask questions when you convene? Why didn't you ask? We're not going to ask, you know.
Oh.
So let me just submit, I never, ever take one circumstance and conclude the character of a person. But what I watched there, and I filmed it, I simply say the governor was present. When was the last time you've seen the governor appear at a committee hearing want. When did the last time did you see the governor's cabinet come and testify for just a committee hearing? When did you see a Clayton Heath, the senator? And I know how painful it is, but unless people start to grab hold of their pants leg and say, look, if you're going to make mistakes such as this, or missteps, then we're going to pull your pants down and show you old Coley. It's that simple. The public should not have to, or the victim should not have to explain how good and how bad they are. The fact is, he did, Clayton Heath, acknowledge and challenge, not challenge, reached out and acknowledged that these were substantial, I'm paraphrasing, charges that Michelle is making. And you know what you're saying, Michelle, very strong statements and claims, but then drops it. So I don't want to engage in whether he's a good guy, a bad guy. Here's what I would offer. The evidence is out there, and he should be he and stand up. I mean, if I could get Senator Heath to give this equal time that he's giving to sharks, and I love the wildlife, I'm an environmentalist and will die for it, but I'd like to see him embrace the Hawaiian issues honestly and stand there. And when there's a Michelle Kauhani making these statements, give some credibility at least and ask.
You bet. And I think there, fortunately, there's another chance for that, which is to request a Senate investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the heady issue that this is, because of the, I mean, it's it's painful because it's so abusive, you know.
Right.
What transpired between the trifecta of the interim director, the AG,
mm-hmm.
and the chief of staff, and the willingness, which has been our history as Hawaiians, the willingness of the political machine to play poker with our chits, with our money, with our land. That is, there is study after study, report after report, by state and federal governments on the mishandling of our trust assets for these kinds of things, and we just have to stand up and say no. I don't. It's not personal for me, you know. It's really a policy issue that we've had 100 years of this. Are we just going to continue? No, we're not going to continue. We have to take a left turn. And I think that part of it is, for me, is the connection to this larger sentiment about voter apathy, this larger sentiment that people have given up on participating because they've already decided it's a foregone conclusion. And I agree that that has been the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I challenge the citizens of our great state that we don't have to accept that going forward, and that we do have a responsibility. We're part of it, and so we need to step forward. You know, when the people lead, then the leaders can follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've been a little bit absent, and the PLDC shows that when the people lead, the leaders can follow. There's an opportunity there to repeal that and start again. That didn't happen from our policymakers. That happened from the citizenry. And
mm-hmm.
so I agree with Michelle that mm-hmm. that leadership and statesmanship need to be strengthened and shown more visibly. And one of the ways that can be done in this particular instance is for our governor to claim this faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, he is responsible for his people, and defend the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defend your citizens, apologize so that people can feel that the candidate he sold us is the man and governor that he will be, that he will not govern on rumors.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that he would meet with Michelle. She deserves that for sure.
Yeah. Well, we all deserve that. And Michelle, you have a comment or anything?
You know, I think this goes back to the comment from the governor's office and the continual response from the Department of Hawaiian Homelands that this is a personnel issue. This is so much greater than a personnel issue. And I'm clear and well aware that Hawaii is an at-will state. So for Joby Masagatani, if in fact my services were no longer needed by her, as I was told, there is no reason why it required any involvement by the governor's office, mm-hmm. period.
Mm-hmm.
As the interim director and a personnel issue, she should handle that at the department level. Mm-hmm. The reason why it is not a personnel issue is because Ms. Masagatani escalated a collaboration with the chief of staff at the governor's office and instead made this a political issue, offering a job at another agency with our trust dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes something other than a personnel issue. I mean, so we need to get to the bottom of it. I agree with Robin. We need to slow this down in terms of the full Senate vote on that confirmation. We have facts in front of our senators that would be horrific if they did not look into those facts, ask some questions. We need to know from Ms. Masagatani herself, were you a part of this? Did you authorize the use of our trust dollars to pay the deputy to go and be the deputy with the homeless coordinator? Did you authorize the use of trust funds? And then how is that possible? Because it's never gone before the commission. And so part of this is to understand that the authority at the Department of Hawaiian Homelands and the authority of the Hawaiian Homes Commission as the governing body at the department must be restored. That this is not just a director to governor's office issue.
Mm-hmm.
Our commission must be made aware.
Would you like to take this phone call, guys?
Sure.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning. This sounds like Hawaii politics. In the case of Donoville, University of Hawaii, he was determined to be not innocent in the case of the Stevie Wonder scam, but yet they moved him over to an office at a high-paying job. This sounds...
Yeah,
very similar. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Politics as usual.
And we have to say no. And in this case, it's even worse than what the caller compares it to, because in this case, you have a commission that is charged under a federal law, the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act, to govern the resources, money, and land for the beneficiaries of that trust. And on top of that, the Hawaii Supreme Court ruled in May of 2012 last year, which the interim director was well aware of, that trust funds are not to be used for administration and operation staffing. And still yet, for political reasons, could not help. You know, there was just ignored the Supreme Court's ruling, but for me, ignored and disrespected a commission mm-hmm. established by a federal law that is responsible. This is not a one man show. This is not you cannot act alone. Bad things happen
mm-hmm. no.
when one individual thinks that they are all powerful and can ignore eight other members of a commission and can spend our funding, Hawaiian money.
Mm-hmm.
That is the beauty of democracy with transparency. It keeps people like that in check. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this is not a personnel issue, and why I'm so grateful to Uncle Joe and other commissioners that have called into question one individual usurping their authority and their power mm-hmm. for different purposes
now
other
that,
than...
That court case said that you can't use monies for staffing and administrative purposes, right? But
yeah.
But internally, that means within the agency. I don't think they would be shocked if they learned that this money was going to be taken outside of the agency and used for administrative purposes in another agency. That makes it even more complicated.
Well, I was kind of offended that the DHL's response to all of this was, well, we've always done that.
Yeah, that was my next point.
I mean, yeah.
We violate the law every day.
We're always doing a lot of bad things, too, then.
Well,
I mean, that is just a silly, that's just unacceptable. I mean, we deserve better than that. That this governor deserves better than that. If that's the best he's got, then he needs to rethink this.
Well,
we have talented people all across the state, citizenry, that are very Akamai. I'm not going to settle anymore.
We're talking to three of them right now. What I will say is that, and this is just in passing along the way, and is to say, the governor is as guilty as a thief in church, okay? Let's know that, and unfortunately, I'm not going to chastise anyone and tongue lash anyone, but enough is enough. Call it what it is. The governor, every action taken was part of the governor's plan. The governor was involved in PLDC. That was his baby. The governor is involved in many of things. He's handed land over backwards and what have you for his friends and special interests. Look, this is just one aspect of his game. So I think if we are going to be successful, when you are afforded an opportunity such as Michelle has presented, it doesn't need a discussion of if Clayton, he is a nice guy, or Malama Solomon is nice, or the governor knew or didn't know. Let's just look at their actions and move forward and tell them we will not allow that, and we don't appreciate that, and the Native people must be treated as they are required to treat them legally and take care of their issues.
Having said that, Mr. Cox, I hope and pray that all those people that came out at the wish of the governor,
mm-hmm.
at the wish of various people in government to come and support Joby in her attempt of being the director by confirmation, come out and support our people in their benefit to mm-hmm. the Hawaiian Homes Commissions and the Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we had done anything that was positive, was that we shook and moved 800 plus people, and now given this opportunity to sit here for the last 2 hours, the same opportunity to let your listening audience know that we need help.
Yeah.
We need help. Come help us.
Help
us solve this problem. And there's only one way to do it, and that is to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Do it pono.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what that introducing song was,
mm-hmm.
baby, you got what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what all the people need to know. You got what it takes to make this thing right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and I would echo that, Mr. Cox, that it's never too late. It's not too late for the governor, as Michelle said. It's not too late for individual senators. It's never too late to chart a new path. Based on new information, every day they get information. It's never too late to correct something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I'm speaking to in terms of statesmanship and being a statesman. That you put stubbornness aside and you're open to the failings of human beings. But you always have the opportunity to make things right. I mean, and I think that's the direction that Act 55 is going.
Mm-hmm.
When I read the paper today, and even a few weeks ago, reading the governor's comments about, I think it took a big bullhorn, but I think he at least is saying, okay, I'm open to it.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is, this situation creates yet another opportunity for individual senators, for our governor, to do something different.
Well,
rather than just ramming things through.
Can I say one thing? This is off subject, but I want to try and describe the three of you to my listeners. I equate your actions and the way you two have behaved, Michelle Kawani and Robin Danner. I'll call Michelle Fannie Lou Hamer, who was a very aggressive and productive African-American woman from Mississippi. And then, Robin, you would be my Barbara Jordan. And Uncle Joe, you're just my hero. Just to see how this thing is playing out. And don't let... it doesn't matter what they do, how they did it. If we keep the challenge and keep firing up the heat, they'll get it. And based on what has been in the news, they should have initiated... I've sent you a letter saying, we got it. We're going to have a hearing. We're going to put everything on hold. We're going to do an investigation of this entire process.
You know, I remember my tutu saying this, if we haste, we waste. But if we're pure, we're sure.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, guys, if you... Robin?
Well, you know, Uncle Joe reminds me of my 82-year-old father saying throughout the years that, hey, don't blame God for evil things. Evil things happen when good people do nothing.
Wow.
So I not only think this is an opportunity for our public officials. There's a sea change happening, and I'm happy to see it at the citizenry level. And I would hope that we, and I know that I'm going to dedicate myself to encouraging the next generation of Hawaii citizens to run for public office, to bring a new breed of, or maybe an old breed, you know, of policy and public servants. And I hope that leaders and statesmen like Senator Akaka and folks like that, that these are true mentors of what a politician looks like, that what, and to bring, restore the good name of being a politician. We can do it here in Hawaii, but it's going to take us. It's going to take just everyday people. It's going to take the Michelle Kauhanes here and there, not many, but I'm committed to a new future, and where we have public servants that have been trained not in the go-along to get along or not in the same old, but are trained and to wear a moral compass, to question government. Those are the best policymakers, to listen, not with their mouths, but with their ears, and to listen to their citizenry and not treat them like they're dumb. You know, like we don't know what's going on because we're not in the back rooms. Exactly. So I think this is, I start to see it on many policy issues, and I hope we keep the momentum of encouraging and not cutting down the next generation of folks who would give to public service and not be trained by the old school. Or the existing school, but would be strengthened on public service, public policy, and what it really means, that it is the good of the many, not the few.
Robert.
And it's a worthy career. It's a worthy job serving the people. If they can remember, it's about serving the people and not serving a particular administration or serving a particular interest group.
Right. Okay.
Robin, you said the new group or the old... you said the new guard or the old guard. How about the mixed guard?
Mm-hmm.
Both the old and the new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Carol, again, yes. I will...
say mahalo nui for raising the awareness of the issue. I say this to friends and to folks who have, I've received an overwhelming number of emails and texts and phone messages saying thank you for sharing the truth, for being brave and bold, and for making known what has happened. For me, when you take the job as an appointed official, as I did to be the deputy, and Robin and I have talked about this before, that it is the kind of position when you stand up for others in your community, a community that I live in, I'm a part of, I am a homesteader, that I don't ever want to look back at my time at DHHL and regret. And say, I had an opportunity while I was there. I saw for my own eyes, and I would have, should have, could have. I just don't want to be in that situation. When I'm at Uncle Joe's age, looking back at my time at DHHL, I will be able to look my son in the eye and say that I gave it my best. I did my best. And I'm laying out simply the truth. This is not some anti-Joby sentiment. This is not some disgruntled employee situation. These are the facts. And regardless of what others may interpret, I feel Uncle Joe, Robin, and others who voiced their position of opposition against this appointment, that we have laid out the facts and what we know to be true. So that we can move on saying we gave it our best, we did everything possible that we believed was in the best interest of our beneficiaries, and to protect the assets at our trust, the land, its revenues, and we move forward, that we can only do the best that we can do and from that move on. And so we've given our senators an opportunity to make that same decision. What is it that you can do? Do you look the other way? Do you pause and ask more questions? And that's an individual question that we all have to ask ourselves. But what is great about doing this? Sure, it was intimidating standing up in an auditorium as Brickwood read nearly 800 names, knowing that there were only a handful of us to stand in opposition. But the rest is easy. Not because it's not difficult in the face of adversity, but because it's right. It's true, and we're just doing what is right.
Okay. Well, thank you. And we're going to have to do another show if you guys are up to it later on. Uncle Joe, we're coming down to the last few minutes. Robin, real quick, you've got about 30 seconds, a minute. You have any comment?
I just want to thank you, Mr. Cox. It was great to meet you. Again, I want to really thank this kupuna, Uncle Joe, that showed a former generation how to stand up without anger, without bitterness, and how he's showing us in this generation that it's okay to speak truth to power. It's okay to speak truth to scariness. And though a handful of folks may not have a political machine or a campaign-style machine, nor would I have engaged a machine in the confirmation hearing. In fact, I encouraged people if you can't. If this is going to harm your family, then, you know, think twice. So it's easier to support. It's even easier to be silent. But it doesn't make it right. It was right to not. And I agree with Michelle. I don't live my life by fearing mistakes. Instead, I want to make sure that I don't regret. And the good news is we move on. We've laid out. No one can say they didn't know. Our policymakers can't say. The governor can't say he didn't know. He knows now. And we move on. And I think you can tell that none of us here have any anger in our hearts or bitterness at all. It is what it is.
Okay.
And each of us have to make decisions for ourselves and with our own conscience. So I thank you for raising the issue, and I thank again Uncle Joe, and I thank Michelle for your incredible courage.
All right. Well, thank you, all of you. Uncle Joe, real quickly, coming down very
again,
closely.
Let me go back to my tutu. When we haste, we waste.
Mm.
But when we are pure, we are sure. Now, I hope everybody has listened with their hearts. Grandmother told me to be hamao, to be silent, to not listen with your ear, but listen with your heart, so that the decision that you make will be heartwarming, heart-loving, and a loving heart.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Michelle Kalhani and Robin Danner from Kauai, and Uncle Joe Tassel, and thank you, Auntie June Tassel. We'll see you next week, and aloha.
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 Lulu.